our health system navigation program at the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. Now, I am presenting on behalf of this extremely hardworking group of co-authors. Dr. Sue Lerman, our external evaluator, is here. Ms. Mvula, also one of the authors, is here with me. And of course, you met our fearless leader from the National Program Office, Julia. I have no conflicts to disclose. So I'm going to go fairly quickly through this list, discussing our project context, implementation, some of our findings, and importantly, some of our lessons learned. You will notice that all of the transition slides throughout the presentation feature, each one features a different health center. This is Health Center 3 in West Philadelphia. So, again, we are one of three sites funded by Merck for this three-year project, all health departments. And this is our setting, just a little bit of background about us. It's the 8 city health centers in the neighborhoods of Philadelphia that are operated by the Department of Public Health. They are federally qualified health center look-alike facilities, and each center has an HIV clinic operating 1 or 2 days a week. Each center also has a routine HIV testing program. In calendar year 2013, there were just over 1,000 HIV-positive patients receiving care at all of the 8 city health centers of the Department of Public Health, and this was a small fraction of the 84,000 total patients who received care in general at the health departments. Now, the city health centers are operated by Ambulatory Health Services, which is a division of the health department. If you see AHS going ahead in the slides, that's what it is. So, leading up to the implementation of this program, we decided to take a look at how many visits it took for patients with HIV who were new to the city health centers to drop out of care. And we were actually surprised. It turns out that 73% of patients new to our system dropped out of care in fairly quick order after only 1 or 2 visits. Now, we administered a brief survey to a random selection, about a third of those patients who had dropped out of care, and it turned out that the primary reason by far for that drop-off was the complexity of our system in the health centers, and to some extent in the city at large, and the frustration of trying to figure that out without specific direction. Now, this frustration was in spite of quite a plethora of services available to all HIV-positive patients in the health centers. We have pretty much a medical home model with medical services and a whole array of support services. But when we went back to look at these, we noticed that there really was no one tasked with walking the patient through the system and helping them figure it out, and really no position that could take on that added responsibility. And so it was that our retention and linkage program that we developed through the collaborative initiative was one to really do two things: to decrease the barriers imposed by our system and other systems to which we referred our patients, and also to make more accessible our system to the residents of Philadelphia, because we really serve as a safety net provider for Philadelphians. And we did this using 4 health system navigators. So we had 2 navigators assigned to, 1 navigator assigned to 2 health centers, essentially. Now, this effort was really developed as a large collaborative effort. This program was developed as a large collaborative effort with AHS in the lead, the city health centers, and working very closely in partnership with the AIDS Activities Coordinating Office, a separate division of the health department that manages a lot of the HIV surveillance in the city. And what they do on this project is really help us with surveillance and data analysis. We also work very closely with ActionAIDS. ActionAIDS actually employs the navigators working on this program. It's a large CBO, the largest case management provider in Philadelphia, and very importantly, an external evaluator, Dr. Lerman, who is here today. So really, these are the partners, the local partners of the collaborative. Our retention intervention, very briefly and very simply, is twofold. Navigation through the health center system and through systems external to the health centers to which we refer our patients. It's essentially teaching the patients how to get their needs met within our system. And linkage, particularly to case management, but also to other services as needed. And this intervention is limited in large part to 90 days, as Julia mentioned before. We have three categories of patients referred to the health system navigators. All patients new to the system, including newly diagnosed patients, but not limited to that category, are automatically referred to the navigators. All patients who are lost to care are referred to the navigators, and we created a kind of a controversial third category of loosely linked. And the way we define the loosely linked or loosely engaged patients are those patients who are deemed by the care teams at the site to be at risk of falling out of care, or those patients who fail to meet two visits at least 90 days apart in a 12-month period. This is Health Center 4 in West Philadelphia. So very quickly, going to some of our key project findings, this is an overview of the methods of our analysis. This analysis that we present here are focused on 77 enrollees into the navigation services who received services between March and September of 2013. There were two enrollees who were excluded because the clinical data were not available. The outcomes we looked at were time that was required to relink or to link patients to care, retention in care, and viral suppression. And we defined viral suppression as a viral load less than 200 copies, closest to the end of the measurement period. We also compared demographic and outcome data between those patients who were navigated and those in the health center HIV program who did not receive navigation services. And the analysis was done in two ways. We compared the outcome data for patients who were navigated and those who were not, and we also compared outcomes data for those enrolled in the program and receiving services pre and post intervention. So these were the patients. There were a total of, in that 7-month analysis period, there were a total of 304 patients who were referred to the navigators, among whom only 135 or 44% were actually eligible. Those who were not eligible were essentially those who were screened out by the large surveillance databases as having died, being incarcerated, having moved out of the jurisdiction, or having laboratory evidence of care elsewhere in the city, much as you found in LA. 77 of these 135 were enrolled, and those who were eligible but not enrolled tended to be patients who, even though they were not keeping appointments and so were referred to the navigators, were really doing well. Many of them, for example, were taking their medicines, just not able to come to the clinic to be seen on a regular basis because they were working or because of some other such reason. But anyway, 77 people end up being enrolled, and these were their referral categories. The vast majority of them, 83%, were among those who were not lost to care, but were deemed to be at risk of falling out of care or loosely linked to care, or to have failed two appointments at least 90 days apart in a year. There were also about 14% newly diagnosed. The next two slides go over the demographic comparisons between the three categories, those who were enrolled, referred but not enrolled, and the remaining health center HIV population. Overall, a majority black, majority male population, a third meeting CDC AIDS criteria. So overall, quite a sick population. You see here that the population enrolled tended to be a little bit younger than the other two categories. Further demographic comparisons, the population enrolled also was less likely to report stable or permanent housing, but overall, the heterosexual risk acquisition was predominant, and quite a poor population, about 80% living at 100% or less of the federal poverty level, and about 40% with no insurance. Now, how did we do with linkage to care? Among a small number, 11 newly diagnosed patients, 91% received care within 3 months, slightly exceeding the national HIV/AIDS strategy target of 85%. 18% received care within a month. Among other HSN patients, 85% received care within 3 months. Retention in care, there really were no significant differences between the population that was navigated and the population that was not navigated. When it came to viral suppression, though, there were differences in favor of the population that was not navigated, with a viral suppression rate of 83.4% among those who were not navigated and 68.8% for those who were navigated. Now, we believe that this difference is because those who were not referred for navigation and those who opted out of navigation were really doing well and not in need of navigation. Those who ended up being enrolled in the navigation services were really those who were struggling with multiple challenges and barriers to care. So the real question then, as we thought of it, was what was the difference among the navigated population? How did they do from before the intervention to after the intervention? Now, this slide goes through viral suppression, showing viral suppression rates 12 months prior to navigation, comparing with 12 months post-navigation. And because we needed data from prior to navigation, we excluded those who were newly diagnosed for these next couple of slides. And here you see that there was a numerically substantial increase in viral suppression rate for the population who was navigated from before navigation to after navigation. This trend is also seen in the retention in care trends, where retention in care significantly increased from pre-navigation to post-navigation for the population that was enrolled. Again, this excludes the newly diagnosed. So in summary, those enrolled in our navigation services were younger. They were less stably housed than those who were not enrolled or not referred. Linkage to care rates were decent, with 91% of newly diagnosed enrollees linking to care within 3 months, and 85% of others linking to care within 3 months. Retention in care, while there was no statistical difference between enrollees and non-enrollees, still we found that among enrollees, retention in care rates increased from 13.6% pre-enrollment to 95.5% a year after enrollment. And remember, this is a short-lived intervention of a, sort of a pulse, 3 months. Viral suppression, we found something different there, where the HSN enrollees, those who were enrolled in navigation services, were actually not suppressed to as great a degree as those who were not enrolled. But when you took the enrollees themselves, suppression rates increased significantly from 33% to 68% from pre to post navigation. So now to finish with some of the lessons we learned, this is Health Center 10 in the northeast part of Philadelphia, my favorite health center. There were many lessons. This was we had a really steep learning curve. We had never done that before. As Julia mentioned before, we did not have service linkage workers or navigators in our community prior to this project. Delineating the role of the navigator was paramount. Our external evaluator, Dr. Lerman, conducted some key informant interviews throughout this process, and that was one item that kept coming up, that the roles were not clearly delineated. On our care teams, we have case managers, we have social workers, and there was some confusion about what the role of the navigator was. So it's really important to make sure that those roles are delineated. Defining eligibility is not, it doesn't have to be as big an issue. It's clear who the new patients are. It's clear who, for the few people in the room who know me, that I don't talk. And so this is a new experience for me. It's clear who the lost to care patients are. What was not clear for us is the loosely linked. It involved a lot of judgment on the part of the care teams. And whenever there was actually a question about the appropriateness of a referral, we would essentially ask one question: do you think this patient is at imminent risk of falling out of care? And if the answer was yes, then that was an appropriate referral. And when you speak with the teams, they come by these conclusions in a variety of different ways, but their judgment was pretty good there. Staff turnover, we've heard about. Julia, to her credit, warned us about this, and yes, did we ever run into high staff turnover. And we had to learn to deal with it by smoothing the transition of staff and in other ways. And so that is something I would definitely expect. This is a collaborative process involving three large organizations, each with a different culture. We had to learn a little bit about each culture and forge a way forward. The time limitation of the intervention took some getting used to. The navigators are very dedicated, treasure their relationships, forced with the patients, and sometimes it was a little difficult to let go, but it's something we had to learn. And then the data interpretation also posed some challenges for us. But all along the way, we run into several different, I don't know if those of you in the back can see this, several different crossroads where we had to make some consequential decisions. So in conclusion, HIV health system navigation for patients who are receiving primary care and support services really improves clinical outcomes and retention in care. It can be implemented in a large public health system, and it can be successfully implemented as a collaborative effort. And I would like to acknowledge many people who have supported this project. Thank you.
We have a few minutes for questions, about five, so let's start with you.
Curious to hear if incentives were used and how important they were to make a successful intervention. We did use incentives in both Project Engage and one of our navigation programs. The other one did not because there was no funding stream for it. Incentives can get people in the door, but it doesn't necessarily keep them there, is my experience. It depends on how you incentivize. For the snowball sampling study, we incentivized people if they brought us a new person. But the bar was very high. They had to bring us someone who actually was eligible, who actually enrolled, and actually linked to care.
And how much did you pay?
$40, gift cards. We never use cash because the high proportion of Sessions users. I think gift cards are helpful for getting people in the door, but the only issue is having a robust system so you can evaluate who's actually eligible, because as you can see from our side, we had a lot of people who were not in our target population flooding us in because they heard we had $40 for people who don't go care. The other issue is you don't want to incentivize the wrong behavior. We had people going, well, if I don't go to the doctor, we're like, no. So we would tell people, you're not eligible. And then they would say, well, if I just wait 3 months. It's like, no, you're never going to be eligible now. So you get a one-shot deal at this. Because, as I said, we don't want to encourage people to stop going to the doctor so they can get their 40. Because they'll do it. They'll stop going to the doctor so they can get $40 in 2 months. So you got to be careful.
Thank you.
And also from people who are enrolled at health education risk reduction centers and CBOs. We have been going to a lot of different places, but APLA Health and Wellness had some people we enrolled through them. And we found that in Los Angeles County, there actually is a lot of money for linking to care these days. Lots of different CBOs are getting money for finding new infected patients and linking them. So we've been going to places where, housing services, places that don't naturally have HIV-infected clients, and we become a resource for them to where to send their HIV-infected clients because they don't know what to do with them. So if you go to Bienestar, where you are at, or you go to APLA, there's already robust linkage services there for newly infected people, and some of them are even doing health navigation on their own. But if you go down to Skid Row, and you go to, Housing Trust, or you go to a SRO, they have no services like that because that's not their clientele.
All we have time for, but feel free to, to take questions, come on up. Thanks for coming. Enjoy the rest of the conference.